Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw.
What's up, it's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you're watching Going In Raw. You like that?
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Lars.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and notify bell next to it to make sure you're always getting your new Going In Raw notifications.
Correct.
We're also available at Patreon at patreon.com/Steve and Larson. We've got a plethora of reward tiers that you can choose from. You give us money, support Going In Raw, and in return, you get things,
stuff,
goods, services, capitalism at work.
Stuff.
Crowdfunding, the future of everything.
Larson. Stuff.
If you want to watch something, you got to crowdfund it nowadays. We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/Going In Raw. I got this t-shirt here.
Oh, I got this. I got this at Pro Wrestling Tees, but not our store.
Not our store. We do not sell Ricochet merchandise yet. We are very close to inking a deal to exclusively carry Rick O'Shea's merchandise.
Oh, all right.
It's his hot new wrestler on the scene, Larson.
Yes.
Richard O'Shea. He's an Irish fella.
Ah.
From Dublin, I believe. Anyways, we're also on CastBox. It's a fantastic podcast app. Be sure to check it out. Subbed Going In Raw over there on the podcast app, CastBox. Or if you're on the Apple iOS podcast app, be sure to hit leave us a rating and a review.
Yes, please.
It really does help boost the profile of the show.
It really does.
Let's talk about SmackDown. It was interesting. You said before we got started with our Patreon pre-show, you said you felt SmackDown was a bit weird last night.
Yeah.
Explain yourself, son.
Yeah, this doesn't seem as sharp as it had been the previous two weeks.
Can I ask something real quick?
What?
Because I kind of feel like this is it's this way for me. These days, because, like, you know, we can't really take weeks off from watching wrestling.
No, we never can.
And I love it. It's great. But I've gotten to the point where, like, my mood almost exclusively dictates. And usually my mood is sort of, I have a fairly constant mood. I don't have wild mood swings.
Well, I don't have wild mood swings, but I tend to run a bit surly at times. So,
but so, like, my take on the shows, until I read your notes back and sort of re-examine it, my initial thoughts,
it's all filtered through your disposition. Yes, I understand that.
It's a fascinating social experiment in some degrees.
Well, I don't know if it's that large of a stretch. Like, if you're excited to you know, witness something, take part in something, your opinion will probably, unless it's wildly disappointing, will probably reflect that.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're walking into a situation completely hesitant, if not basically regretting the fact that you have to do what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Well, regretting is a bit strong of a word, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Why do you think it was weird?
I just said I didn't feel as sharp as it had been the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of bits, finishes, and matches that seemed a little interesting. Some storyline threads that were unexpected. But not to initially mean I dislike them, but just unexpected.
I was surprised, and to be honest, I was pleasantly surprised by the finish of the main event.
Yeah.
It was, So I knew the outcome in advance. Again, I watched it late last night. I went to the gym earlier. And so I watched the show late last night on my DVR, and my jaw dropped when Rusev got the clean three count. Because I didn't expect that to be the actual finish. I wasn't paying attention to, like, the time code or anything.
Yeah.
And so I figured there'd be, like, a little bit more match left. But when Rusev went over clean, I was stunned, and I was actually very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, for all the talk of Rusev getting buried and not being utilized, this seems to what?
Sorry. I looked over your computer and saw just me there, and I was like, at what time during the stream did you leave? And I was like, oh, when you got the card.
Yeah, if you notice, the thing is moving, so it's not real time.
No, I knew that, but I was like, when did he leave? I remember that happening, but before he rolled,
yeah,
you had to get the card.
Yeah, I got the card to clear the card out. Yeah, all that, yeah.
I was like, when did that happen?
Yeah, no, this isn't real time, Steve. This isn't happening right now.
I was stunned. I was floored when Rusev went over clean on Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that's surprising.
And then they said, you know, he's been through a lot lately. And I was like, hold on a second. That's way too logical. Hold on a second. Wait, back up now. And I'm not going to crap on it. I'm not going to crap on it because it accomplishes several things. Number one, it is incredibly logical to suggest that a guy who has been through as much as he's been through, especially the greatest Royal Rumble thing, and then going through Cass, will now be a little on the weakened side.
This is my only issue with that whole storyline. That match with Cass let it last less than 8 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. And granted, he got beat up a little bit afterwards.
Yeah, I know. I know.
But to say that was what put him over the edge in terms of being exhausted, that's a bit much.
All right. Fair
enough.
If
it was a 20-minute hard-fought match with Cass that he just pulled out barely and then got beat up,
but also 3 years of doing absolutely nothing.
No, that I'm fine with him lasting more an hour in the Greatest Rumble.
Because I could do. We can't start. Here's the thing. Because when I first brought this up to you off camera, you were like, "Yeah, you know, as long as it leads somewhere." And I totally get that point. But for one day, for one match, we got some logical booking. I'm not going to crap on that.
Well, I won't either. But if they just do this little story beat just for last night, strictly to have an excuse for Daniel Bryan not to be in Money in the Bank, and then they completely forget about it. It's in my mind, it's like, oh, there's a kernel of a decent storyline idea, but you just do it to justify things short term without building into a larger narrative, which could be pretty interesting potentially. Then it's a waste.
Yeah, I mean,
if you don't want, and I understand Rusev gets a good rub by being Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. A huge one. Yeah. Everybody says Rusev needs to be treated better. What more could you want than Rusev going over Daniel Bryan
clean?
But
if this isn't going to be an ongoing storyline, if this is just like a one-time deal, then have Rusev beat, Randy Orton.
Okay, so if this doesn't, but here's my thing with that. If this isn't, have him beat Randy Orton. This might not be, because I don't think they're going to start playing up a storyline of Daniel Bryan being tired.
No. It's the story of Daniel Bryan getting back into ring shape so he can be where he was 3 years ago.
I prefer that less over
Bryan being tired.
No, not having anything to do with Daniel Bryan at all. Let's start booking this with some sense of logic behind the matches instead of guys with like crazy resiliency.
Yeah.
Who can eat matcha kick after matcha kick and be totally fine. How about let's actually start injecting some, you know, realism, if you want to call it realism, where, yeah, this guy's been through a ton. He's got, it makes sense that he could actually eat a loss to a guy like Rusev.
DJ Johnson here in chat raises a point that I thought about too, that about Daniel Bryan probably not wanting to be involved in ladder matches. Him, not him, WB, not wanting Daniel Bryan to be involved in ladder matches.
Well, I guess my point is, traditionally, you would see this finish go down any number of other ways. I mean, we saw Aiden English try to get involved a little bit anyways.
Yeah, like Cass could have come out or something like that. Yeah.
That I thought, because I knew in advance that Daniel Bryan was going to lose just saw it on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I thought for certain it was going to be Big Cass coming out and doing something, or obviously Aiden English. But Rusev going over clean because Daniel Bryan, I'm like, wow, that's actually kind of a fresh take on things, and it makes total sense. So if it's anything, for me, if it's anything, it's not necessarily, well, I want this to be part of storyline. I don't really care about that. But if we see more of that type of booking in the individual matches themselves, where there's a bit more logic inserted, that I think would be a bit more appealing, because that's the kind of thing that we praise in New Japan.
Yeah, you know, but it's a consistent feature in New Japan. They build that kind of stuff from time. Like Okada's whole story is the accumulation of damage he suffered throughout 2017.
Yeah.
And how that would affect him, but then he showed up at Wrestle Kingdom as Okada Reborn, you know, and he seemed completely refreshed, and unbeatable,
And it wasn't it turns out that story wasn't about the damage; it was about the knowledge he accumulated, his ability to grow stronger from adversity,
match by match, that was the case, but also it told a larger story, and I think. If they're just using this, because, yeah, it sounds great for them to start booking more logically, but I don't really expect WWE to do that.
No, neither do I. But so, look, I can be optimistic about things.
You can. It's like you're optimistic about Bob Roode being a face for one night.
You know, man, I try to look at the silver lining.
But give
him the benefit of the doubt.
In the end, though, I just feel like if this is just a one-time deal to excuse a loss, it's wasted opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff here they can explore in terms of Daniel Bryan working back into ring shape, essentially.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense for him to show up and start beating everybody.
Yeah.
After being out for 3 years. This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So, no, it'd be great if there was a storyline regarding that. I would love that. But again, I have little faith in that, just as I have little faith that they're actually going to start booking things logically.
Yeah, I fully expect this to go nowhere and just be a one-night deal.
Yeah, although it might play into the Lana thing, you know? Like, oh, you're being held back by this guy over there. Well, this guy over here just helped me, number one. And number two, with him by my side, I just beat Daniel Bryan cleanly.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that they might be using that for some storyline, too. Like, not just playing into what Lana's saying, but actually giving Lana reason to be like, well, crap, now I have to find a different excuse to excise Aiden English, which seems to be her odd logic. He doesn't want to...
Why can't they just all team up?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, like, their reasoning for if the reports are true or rumors are true that they just don't like the look of Aiden English.
Oh, is that a thing?
Yeah.
That's a rumor, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that one.
And then they...
He's an odd-looking fella. But I kind of feel like he could be a clean slate pretty easily.
Yeah.
There's no distinguishing features about him.
And do you think Rusev Day would be as over as what it is without him singing?
No.
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 He's such a huge part of that whole phenomenon that to take him out of it...
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems like a step backwards.
Why can't they just tell him to stop wearing the goofy circular sunglasses? Because those are goofy.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
Yeah, it doesn't really bother me, but I could see it bothering somebody. Like, he looks weird. Maybe put him in something else. Put him in a Rusev Day hoodie. If he's going to do the rapping thing, give him some like old school 80s hip-hop stuff.
He raps sometimes. Usually he's still...
These days it's every time.
No, every he does time. It every time, but it's not like it's just complete
hip-hop
or rapping. He's doing a little bit of rapping, but he's also singing still. Yeah, so.
Give him some Adidas.
Yeah, that's good. A tracksuit. Yeah.
Who doesn't love a track? Everybody looks cool in a tracksuit.
Yeah, they're comfy too.
They are super comfy. Man, I still got it. That might be, the thing that I spend the most money on with one of our.
Oh, yeah, the New Japan tracksuits.
One of our patrons asked earlier in the pre-show, what's the most money you ever spent on wrestling merch? And we said, yeah, not a lot, but $130 or $150 for a tracksuit.
I think, yeah.
For that amazing looking tracksuit. Yeah, man.
I'll wear that all the time.
Oh, all the time. Are you kidding me? Anyways, why am I just looking at my phone? Where's my docs? Here we go.
Your notes. So the show kicked off with Paige coming
out. Let's talk about the actual show now.
Well, we were. Paige dropping a promo, trying to put over Backlash, saying it was a rousing success, and she waited for the audience to cheer.
Yeah. So it was kind of interesting, because you pointed out that on Raw the night before, and I'm still not sure if this was their intent.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it was their intent, but it came off as them making an excuse for why Backlash was so lame.
And if it is their intent, that was awesome.
Yeah.
He says, we do this 52 weeks a year, all just for you people. You know, subtext being, so if we lay a turd from time to time, you know, it's okay.
Keep in mind that the other 51 weeks a year, it's all moderately good stuff.
Yeah, give us, you know, give us
a break.
Give us a break, people. Paige came out and said, Backlash was amazing. Did you guys all see that? All those people streaming out after that terrible...
Even after, during.
During that main event, or the writing was on the wall.
Yeah, anyway, she also said...
God, Lesnar's really not going to show up till SummerSlam?
Apparently.
How is that even justifiable? That's
because
that's
they feel
so
like
bad.
They need 3 more months to rebuild Reigns.
The Universal Championship isn't going to be seen. That's terrible. That stat that's like floating around, Lesnar's had 10 title defenses, were in the same amount of time as CM Punk had 140.
Yeah.
That's...
It was 15 for Lesnar, but I know what you mean.
That's atrocious. That's so bad.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, she comes out and says, Backlash was great, but Money in the Bank's coming up. So we're going to start doing that stuff right now.
Yep. Qualifier match, Jeff Hardy versus The Miz. They give this match a ton of time.
This was like at least 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. I was keeping track of this one. I was like, man, this is going long, really long. It was a fantastic match too.
Yeah, it was good.
A lot of fun, a lot of cool stuff happening here. What do you think about that finish? Jeff Hardy hits a Swanton
bomb. It was
just
weird.
It
just seemed weird.
Strong push for Miz?
Yeah.
I like it.
No, I don't mind it. I just wish... Usually I don't.
I could see how you're saying things are weird though.
Yeah,
because that was weird.
Miz seemed a bit too sure of himself and physically able to reverse. So that what happened?
It's usually a devastating finisher.
Yes, like if it was one of those things where he just kind of like lurched into it.
Yeah,
it would have made more. It would seem more believable to me.
Yeah,
and if he just rolled out of the ring and just laid there, destroyed,
kind of crisp.
Yeah, like if that was literally his kind of last gasp effort to win the match, and managed to work, I'd have believed it. But yeah, it seemed a little too crisp.
Something tells me that was supposed to be the story there, because afterwards he really sold it up. He really sold like he was like, oh my God, I can't believe I squeaked out of that one.
Yeah.
But no, I agree with you. It did seem a little too crisp, but I liked it. I was surprised
by
it.
In theory, don't mind it. execution.
Yeah.
A little too crisp.
Yeah. But in any event, it was a good match.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that puts him, I mean, that puts him solidly above mid-card status. I like that, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Or mid, I'm sorry, mid-card belt status, beating the US champion. Did you see Baron got a drone?
Yeah, I saw that.
It's amazing. He's the best. A drone. That's great.
Did you see his cinematography with his drone?
Yeah, man. I mean, dude, give me a break. Are you kidding me? Scorsese. That's immediately what I thought.
Well,
I was
Scorsese's
like,
Scorsese's not a cinematographer, man. He's a director.
Scorsese. Deakins, then.
Yeah, Roger
whatever,
Deakins.
Yeah, whatever you want, man. Give me another top-level cinematographer.
Bob Richardson.
But there you go. Boom. Perfect. Who does Spielberg stuff?
Oh, what's his name? Kaminsky?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Boom. Right there. I think he has a future. Have you ever wanted to get a drone before?
Yeah, not really.
Not really, huh? Like, we have a friend who got a drone, and he's got some good shots on that thing.
Yeah, they're just really expensive.
Yeah, they're pricey, but also, I'm not sure what I'd ever use it for.
Exactly.
We're going to get a drone for the office here?
I know. Just have it hover right here the whole time when we shoot the show.
Right. And then we sign off and say, bye, everybody.
I know. It shoots up, it hits the ceiling, it falls, it breaks. $1,000 wasted.
That's right. Anyways, next up we had
Fiebar backstage. Sheamus was really upset about losing to Xavier Woods last week. So upset,
shoving his lucky charms in his face.
Yeah,
man.
It was a large bag. That's Costco size.
That's family size.
The
for
box.
Sure. Yeah,
the double one of the double bags. Yeah, that was one of the bags out of there.
Right. Yeah. So he's doing that. Cesaro comes over and he's like, "Why are you stress eating right now?" And Sheamus says, "Well, you know, I'm still mad after a week of stewing over it." That always cracks me up when somebody is acting as if their emotions are 10 minutes old.
I know.
Because that should be his reaction. Like a week later, you're still stuffing your face with Lucky Charms. Why aren't you over by now? It's just a loss. Anyway, he's just pissed off that he says he should have beaten Xavier Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cesaro says, yeah, well, if it was me, I probably could have done it. And Sheamus says, all right, fine.
You do it then.
Let's do it then. Let's do it. And they open up their gear bags. And they're just chock full of pancakes. Man.
And Cesaro dumps his luggage out, pancakes all over the place. It's a waste of some good-looking pancakes.
The pancakes always look amazing. It always makes me hungry when I watch that shit, that stuff. Next up, we had Renee Young hovering outside Shinsuke Nakamura's locker room, dressing room, whatever. He comes out, and she's like, you know, your match ended with both of y'all kicking your dicks. What's up with that? And he says,
and she asked a question. He says, no. Pause.
Yeah. Speak English.
Speak English.
Yeah.
And then Renee says, well, we know you speak English. And he goes, yeah, I did know, but I forgot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said, I learned it, but I forgot. And then he said something like, she said, well, before you forget again, you know, what's your take on this AJ Styles thing?
He says, I'm nuts.
He said, AJ's nuts.
AJ's nuts, but so am I.
Yeah.
And we're not done, essentially.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match. So my whole fantasy booking scenario obviously is not going to play out, which disappoints me.
Still 5 weeks away, but he's probably not going to be in that.
No. Neither is Daniel Bryan. So we got either they got to do some creative writing or our count out list this week. Not really going to pan out that well.
Yeah, no different than usual. I really don't think Daniel Bryan should win that thing anyways. Although it would be a fantastic moment. I stand by what I said in the count out. He doesn't need it.
No, he doesn't need
it. And I don't want to see him in a ladder match again, man. That's terrifying. Are you kidding me? They're completely right taking him out of that thing. That's scary.
Mm.
His brain is something that needs to be
protected
and cherished and
yes.
loved.
Yes.
Next up, we had a Carmella iPhone promo where she said, next week in the UK, which they're all there now.
Melibration.
We're going to have
a royal Melibration.
Royal Melibration. On par with the recent kid that they had, right? Didn't they have like a kid just recently? Didn't one of them give birth?
I guess. I don't know.
Like that.
I don't pay attention to that.
Really? One of them dudes is super bald.
That's the older of the two, I think,
you
right?
You think that, man, you know, you're part of the royal family. Like, I'm not royalty. I got a big bald spot.
Yeah,
here.
I got one, too.
I know. You're looking like LeBron James over there. But, you know, if I had all that money, are you kidding me? I'd be getting whatever needs to be happening.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He looks terrible. Ty Dillinger iPhone promo.
He's got new hair. Speaking of hair.
What the hell was this on his head?
He got a haircut.
That was not what I meant when I said he needs to change things up.
Well, I didn't think it was that bad. It was just what it was, but just shorter, and he had it parted to the
and
side.
And he still had the lines in the side?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, no. No good. I feel like it's just getting worse for him.
No, it's better.
Anyways, does he think he has a chance at Money in the Bank? You know what cracks me up? A bunch of these guys are doing these iPhone promos. Like, Mike Bennett did one, and he said, I'm going to take my opportunity and be it money. And I was thinking, you're not even in a qualifier. Are you? Are they going to do like a big battle royal thing?
Oh, maybe.
For like the last spot? Oh, that could be.
That could be. That could be fun.
Because a lot of these super low card guys, these main event guys, not speaking main eventers, some guys who are on main event, are doing these iPhone promos too, saying, yeah, we're totally going to be in Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
So far, they've been only having big time guys
I know.
In the qualifiers.
Yeah.
So I don't think.
Yeah, Ty's not going to be in the match.
Ty's not going to be in the match. He might be. They might do. That'd be cool if they did like a battle royal.
Oh, I think it'd be great.
You know, although you'll be able to figure out who's like, if it's a battle royal, like, and it's a bunch of chumps and then Baron Corbin, it's like, okay, well, he's probably going to be in
Yeah, thing. Unless No Way Jose's in that match. You never know.
Yeah, exactly.
Next, we had a Naomi iPhone promo again saying that she was going to win.
Primo did one. Yes. They're totally doing a battle royal then.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Naomi did an iPhone promo as well.
I find her utterly charming.
Yeah.
I really do.
Naomi's great. Saying, you know, she is a former champion. She won the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal.
She has a good point.
Next accolade for Money in the Bank winner.
I think she'd be a quality Money in the Bank winner. Next
Same.
Up, we had Charlotte versus Peyton Royce in a match. This was a qualifier for their Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. Iconics preceded the match with a promo.
I seriously love these things.
Oh,
I think
they're great.
Hilarious. They're so great.
And Billie Kay was on another level last night.
Right?
The promo and then her reactions during the match.
Oh, man. Her face is so perfectly suited for comedic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Match is a bit on the clunky side, though. I noticed they were going like at half speed sometimes. Like,
but it was weird because it seemed like they were doing that, but it seemed like they were trying to jam too much stuff in a limited amount of time.
That could be, too. That could be as well. In any event, Charlotte went over. Peyton Royce ended up tapping out to the figure eight.
That was a bummer.
Yeah, I know. Again, our count-out list that we've already done, which we did.
Well, there's, you know, Billie Kay could have a qualifier and win her match.
Yeah, hopefully she does. Let's see here. So, yeah. Next up, we had a Daniel Bryan interview where he said, what did he say again? I think he just said that he's going to go on and win Money in the Bank.
Yeah, that's what pretty much all the interviews said.
Yeah, okay. Next up, a Shelton Benjamin iPhone promo.
I thought this was awesome. Except he was.
I missed this.
Except he was
why
out of focus.
Why did I miss this? That's
he
weird.
Was out of focus and the background was in focus.
Then why did you. Is that why you found it awesome?
Kind
that's,
of.
That's why I would find it awesome.
Kind of, but I thought his performance was really good.
That's great.
He was saying how, like, some of the best moments of his career.
I thought it was really fantastic that I could see his shoes 5 feet behind him.
No, he was like, you know, like at a...
Was he in a locker room?
No, oh. No. It was like at a you know, backstage at a theater. Not a movie theater, but like a play, musical type theater.
Okay.
Where they have all the pulleys.
Oh, sure. Okay.
With the ropes and stuff.
That's weird. Yeah.
He was standing in an area like that. And so...
You got to see a very detailed schematic.
Yeah. Because he was a little out of focus. And the background was a perfectly good focus. But his performance was really good. Probably why they aired it as it was.
Oh yeah,
because he was talking about how some of the best moments of his career happened.
Dude, I guarantee they aired that as it was because that's what they received and they just put it up.
Probably. some of the best moments of his career happened in Money in the Bank ladder matches.
Yeah,
and so he's looking to top all those moments by winning it this time around.
Ooh, if he's in a battle royal, I could see him going
yeah.
over.
He was always good for at least one incredible spot in the Money in the Bank match.
I love Shelton Benjamin. I think he's great.
Oh, he's awesome.
I'll have to go back and watch this.
Next, this Oscar promo. This Oscar promo was, and had nothing to do with her, was the goddamn words flying up at the screen.
Oh, I think Brian Zane tweeted out about this, and that's why when I was watching, I was like, did I miss this promo or something? I don't know what happened. I don't know why I missed it.
You probably out of the room or something. Yeah, it was short, and she did fine, saying that she was going to win Money in the Bank, but it was just words and like Comic Sans. It was atrocious.
That's awful. That's terrible.
It was awful.
Oh, gosh. What the hell are they doing?
And it was the only time they did it the whole show. If anybody,
yeah,
anybody in the roster should not have words flying on the screen, much less in some sort of comedically themed font, it's Asuka.
Why didn't they put this on Ty's stupid promo with his weird hair? Except the only words that come flying out aren't the things he's saying. It just says hair. Alex, are you laughing at Alex C?
Yeah.
Do you think they even check half the iPhone promos? Imagine if they just, if they air a D-pick one day. If it says D-pick. Oh, man. That's too much.
Well, at least you notice the Bludgeon Brothers did their promo in the same moving van that Baron Corbin used for his iPhone promo. Did you notice
hey,
that?
Hey, do you guys want a great...
So we might know what was being moved, which was all of the Bludgeon Brothers toys.
That's right. Why do they have toys with them?
I don't know.
What the hell was that?
Like I said, it was a weird episode.
That was, yeah, dude. No, you know what? I'm sorry. After looking at these notes, you're completely right. That
it was weird.
It is literally the definition of weird.
Because the last few weeks, it was really crisp. They didn't focus too much on granite. I know,
dude.
That,
no. Listen, it has nothing to do with crisp. There's weird shit happening.
No, there's weird stuff happening. But I'm saying the last few weeks, there wasn't a whole lot of. And I understand why they're doing these iPhone promos for people to promote Money in the Bank and their possible participation in it. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But the last 2 weeks is just. Both episodes seem so tight and focused, and there wasn't a whole lot of non-wrestling stuff involved. Yeah. And it seemed like this episode was like half iPhone promo.
Yeah. Could you imagine Vince's I mean, because I don't know. Look, I imagine Vince is like, I was looking at chat here. I know Vince is a control freak and everything, but I'm assuming he doesn't check all the iPhone promos before they run. He just assumes
a producer has probably looked
that
them over.
Somebody's doing their job and making sure they're not out of focus. Could you imagine him sitting there at Gorilla? Because he has a monitor, like he's watching the show.
Yeah.
That thing here is like, why is he out of focus?
Who is the producer in charge of this segment?
Michael Hayes.
Next, Xavier Woods versus Cesaro. I'm really enjoying this T-Bar New Day feud.
Me too.
I think it's a lot of fun.
Me too. This was like one of the highlights of the shakeup. I think there's been a lot of good stuff from the shakeup, but this has definitely been one of the better ones. I feel like things are getting on in the Raw tag division. They're just dead stale, and I just feel like these two groups are both top tier, top notch. And this was a really fantastic match. It was a lot of fun. And I really appreciate, you know, one thing you have to love is that too often they go to the well of a tag team or like, you know, friends or whatever. And one guy's able to, you know, one guy loses, the other guy pulls off a victory. And then the first guy gets all jealous or something.
Yeah.
There was none of that. Cesaro went over with a fantastic European uppercut to counter Xavier Woods trying to drop a flying elbow on him.
Yeah. It was great.
It was fantastic. And it apparently busted Xavier had all sorts of blood coming out of his mouth.
Actually made for a good visual.
Yeah, it really did. And then he tweeted later, he says, I'm going to bed. I've got a hole in my tongue. And then Cesaro immediately runs and goes and jumps on Sheamus and straddles him while he's putting his fist up. Mm-hmm. And they're both very happy.
Yes.
So I like that they're way past that point, you know?
And later on the show, they announced that next week these two teams will have a match.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever team wins, they'll get to pick one member to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's good. Next up we had an AJ Styles interview. Do you think that Shiner was makeup or was that the real deal?
No, I think that's a real deal.
It's probably
man.
The real deal because that chair
was moving at quite a bit of velocity.
Yeah, man.
In a very short amount of time, right towards his face.
But you never know. Sometimes they do that stuff.
Maybe.
They did that with Shane once.
Yeah.
Where it was like, I don't know, it was fairly obvious that I think it was after the AJ beatdown or something, and they just put on like ridiculous makeup on
no,
him.
No, I would be surprised if that was legit.
Yeah.
He's probably lucky he didn't have a broken cheekbone or something.
I know. I mean, dude, if that was 2 inches to the side and up, it would have been his eye.
Yeah.
Ugh.
At least a broken orbital bone then.
Yeah.
Anyways, he just pretty much said he's not done with Nakamura.
Yeah.
Next, Bludgeon Brothers promo. Dimly lit in a moving van with their toy collection.
With their toy collection. Does anything say we're not that
tough?
Yeah, we're not that tough, thank you.
Like ripping some limbs off some toys.
So weird. What is the kayfabe story there? They went out and bought toys for this?
I know.
I mean that's,
And then, like, you know, rip the limbs off a little bit.
That's silly.
It is silly. It's really silly. And then they do the thing at the end where they destroy the camera with their toy hammers.
It's so dumb.
Next, Becky Lynch versus Mandy Rose. Before the match started, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville were in gorilla position, getting hyped to go out for the match.
How nerve-wracking would that be, filming a segment right there where Vince's feet away. Everybody's, all the producers are all just feet away.
I know.
Ugh.
And then Paige comes up to him and says, yeah, you know, I told you Absolution was dead, and that means Sonya Deville, you're barred from ringside for this match.
Why is Paige being such a jerk to these people?
I don't know. They just want to be friends.
They just want to be a group.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Iconics get to be a group.
I know.
They get to be a duo.
I know.
Why can't Absolution keep their name?
Yeah.
Because it's a cool name.
It's a good name.
It, you know.
They just want to be friends. Why is she saying, hey, don't be friends?
Because they're less cool without the name and like their
and the music. Because Mandy Rose's new music is not good.
No. I don't know if that's what she used in NXT.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But and she's got like the weird gold dust type entrance.
Yeah,
it's like,
with like the blur.
It's all blurry
on like the vignette.
Vignetted, yeah.
Yeah, it's not good.
Oh, dude, it's not. It kind of kicks her down a notch. But anyways, I liked Sonya Deville's music back in the day, back in NXT.
Oh, yeah.
I think I did. Anyways.
This is an okay match.
No, it was a good match. It was better than the Charlotte Peyton Royce one. Because it was like, it was quick. It was fairly crisp. Mandy Rose is a decent wrestler.
Yeah, she's getting a lot. She's gotten a lot better.
She's gotten a lot better. Yeah, for sure.
And that her bicycle knee is really good.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And she in somewhat surprising fashion, I guess maybe not because Becky Lynch really doesn't win anymore, picked up the win. Yeah. Becky was going for a kick. Sonya, reversed it. So Becky hit the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mandy Rose won with a roll-up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this was actually... I'm not going to say it was surprising. If, like, before this match, I feel like I probably would have called this because...
They don't do anything with Becky.
They really don't do anything
with Becky. They don't do anything with
Becky. Yeah. But this was not... This wasn't a qualifier, though, was it?
No.
Okay, because afterwards, Becky Lynch cut a promo, I think, on either just her own Twitter or maybe it made the .com, I don't know. But there was no quinoa jokes. It was all just disappointment and resolve that she's going to come back and be stronger from this, and she's going to go on to win Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Lucky for her, this is not a qualifier.
Yes.
After that...
Finally, our main event.
Daniel Bryan versus Rusev.
Good match, too.
No, this is a really, really cool match, man. I mean, look, if you just take this match alone, you can't complain about Rusev the way they're booking him because he won clean with the Machka kick.
Yep.
And I love that shot leading up to the finish of, like, Daniel Bryan's kind of, like, reeling in the foreground, and Rusev is loading up in the corner, and he's got this really crazy look in his eye, and then he just loaded up, and whack, Machka kick, 1, 2, 3. Daniel Bryan loses.
The one thing I wish they hadn't done during this match is cut to commercial for 2.5 minutes because I felt like there were some story beats that...
That could be said of any match, but I know specifically you felt there were story
because
beats.
Because I understand before the commercial break, Rusev was getting his arm worked over a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then after the commercial break, he was really selling a wrist injury.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, why is he selling wrist that strong? Like, he can't even lift up Daniel Bryan's arm to put him in the accolades.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then also Daniel Bryan, I understand that Rusev was working him over pretty good, was really selling the ribs. So I just feel like, maybe not cut to commercial during your main event so viewers at home get all the story you're trying to tell.
The best outcome here would be if Daniel Bryan would put on some rib tape.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
See rib tape.
Yeah. Rib tape and then like a wrist wrap for Rusev.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, really, all you care about is rib tape. Rib tape is the big thing.
Yeah. I know. I know.
Did Luger ever wear rib tape? I feel like he did, didn't he?
I think so.
I think he did.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he did a lot, actually. Anyways. Before we get to questions, I do need to start doing this. I got to catch up on some of the Patreon.
Oh, okay.
So at the $1 mark on the Patreon. So here's the deal. On the Patreon, like we said, it's a great way to support Going In Raw. Check out this. For $20, you get the Friendo Care Package. You get this comic book, you get some stickers, you get a poster, a bunch of stuff signed by us, postcard. It's all really great. But also at the $1 mark, not only do you get access to Going In Raw Discord, which is fantastic, you also... what month were we? We're in May.
We're in May already.
Okay. So I think it was March and April that I neglected to do the shout outs. And at $1 and up, you get a shout out.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna start doing these.
Hold on, we're talking about shout outs. Look at there at the bottom, guys. Matt chat question in 3 seconds.
How is that even? Is there even going to be a question there?
I assume so.
He's probably not going to say, "Hey, Steven Larson." So if you take that out of it, that's a second.
Anyways, continue.
So good for him. Anyways, I'm just going to read off some of these names before we hit questions. Then we'll do questions. That's another thing you get. At $1 and up, that's where we put up our question thread for these recap episodes.
Correct.
And they're for $1 and up patrons. And I do try my best to get a variety of names whenever I'm reading these questions. Quinn Hodson, Connor Jennings, Mozzarella Sticks, Nick Montenegro, Dave Mata, Joe Cage, Austin Govea, Unamused Alexa Bliss, Ryan McGrath, Daniel Rios, Alistair Davidson, Matthew Dickey, Cody Kramer, Reese Smith, Matt Davidson, Pleshka, Backstage Cake Boy, Ivan Ramos, Room the Jobber, Daniel Morales, Brandon Ultreras, Falling Noble, Christian Marin, Charles Tracy, Ronald Pfeiffer, Jacob Taylor, Bill Wheeland, Kevin Carrier, Jonathan Thrailkill, David Bethea, Jeremy Torres, Jared Coulter, Super Kick Club member Miss Laura, Kalen Leakes, Charlie Frazier, Jared Kincaid, Chris Stane Morin, Dylan Bure, not the real Bobo, the Philly Phenom Thomas May, Sausage King of Chicago, D. Garrison. You like that
what
one?
What movie is that from?
The that's Sausage from, King of Chicago. Is that from something?
That's from a movie,
I don't know. Michael Hill, Razorback 08, Ashley Also Toll, Haven Elric. Oh, I remember that name. We've heard that
name. Oh, it's Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, okay. Pascal Feely, John Moscow, Isaac Lasoya? No, Iasoya? I don't know. The Gutter Guru Sibswami, let's see here, Rick Reger, Marcus Giles, and that's it for right now. That was the first half of March.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. All right.
Now, question time.
Let's do questions.
regular Trevor, Steve, power rank the top five ice creams you're making with the Crizzly family.
Oh man, I know. I didn't watch Crizzly last night, but
well, I caught the very end of it, and I started. Well, they had the very end of it in my recording for SmackDown. They made some ice cream.
Yeah, they made some ice cream,
and the recipe is available on USA Network website.
USA Network. It looked like it's strawberry/Crizzly. Yeah, it looked pretty tasty.
It did look good,
but I feel like I think it was the season premiere last night, mm-hmm. and they did like some sort of ice cream theme thing. Do they run an ice cream store now?
No,
do the kids do that?
Cody Miles says, so the Crizzly episode leading up to SmackDown had a legit ice cream machine commercial built in. So what is your favorite ice cream and who is your favorite Crizzly?
So I'm not a huge ice cream guy. Are you?
I really like strawberry ice cream.
Really?
Yeah.
I like everything surrounding ice cream. So I like milkshakes.
Yeah, I prefer milkshakes to regular ice cream. Yeah, milkshakes are great. They hurt my tummy, but every once in a while I'll suffer through it.
I really like if I'm going to have some ice cream concoction, I would prefer it to be a banana split.
Yeah, banana splits are good.
I actually really like banana splits. And
ice cream sandwiches?
Oh, those are actually some of my favorites, too. I really like ice cream sandwiches. Those are good. And then if it's just like, hey, let's go down and get a scoop of ice cream, a couple scoops of ice cream, I like the waffle cone. I like the cone. That's good.
So there's a place in Folsom, they have churro cones.
Okay. What's a... Oh, a churro cone. That sounds amazing, actually. Yeah. That sounds really good.
I haven't tried it, but... Bitter $5 subscriber, sell me on why Ready to Rumble is a better movie than The Wrestler.
Okay, so, for the sake of the question, we have to do that.
Yeah, it features a litany of WCW stars.
So I've watched the first episode of Thunder recently. Uh-huh. I like bad WCW as much as the next guy.
Yeah.
And if you want bad WCW in cinematic form, there is no better movie to watch. So there you go. It's kind of the only way I can sell it. GM Spud, who will be the next superstar to win two Royal Rumbles?
Roman Reigns.
He says the only active full timers with one win already are Roman, Shinsuke, and Sheamus. There's only three active wrestlers right now
who have won a Rumble.
Who have won a Rumble?
Well, Orton's already won
he's
two.
He's won two,
so he's active.
Yeah.
Well, Cena's won it, but he's not full-time.
Oh, but he's saying Orton's already won two.
Yeah,
so he's going to be the next guy.
Probably Roman Reigns.
I would think it's got to be Roman.
Yeah. Griffin Cologne is a SmackDown superstar winning the Money in the Bank briefcase a foregone conclusion. He can't see Finn or Seth carrying around a briefcase when Universal Champion is only around a few times a year. It would also make sense for the Women's Money in the Bank winner to be from Raw since Carmella only just recently cashed in on Charlotte. I thought that too, that it makes more sense for a SmackDown competitor to win Men's Money in the Bank just because they seem more willing to ping pong that belt around a bit more.
True. Although we don't know what the scenario is going to be like. If this Roman thing doesn't get better, and I don't foresee it getting better, like try as they may, the idea that I saw float around that they're actually trying to do the Daniel Bryan thing with Roman is so... That makes me think that it's gonna keep on failing. They have no idea.
Oh, yeah, because they have no idea what they're doing.
They have zero idea. That's not even... You can't generate that. You can't create that.
No.
So anyways, We don't really know post SummerSlam, like assuming Brock drops it. I don't know. I mean, if Brock drops it, it might open a floodgate of ping-ponging.
Could be.
But I don't know, man. Until I see it, SummerSlam, I'm not going to – like, we're still months away from SummerSlam.
Yeah, about 3.5 months.
Ages away from SummerSlam. My early prediction is I'm not going to bet on Brock losing that title.
Yeah.
I'm just not.
Yeah.
I don't care how obvious it is that he's going to lose. Probably not going to do that.
Bet or choose Brock, one confidence point.
Choose Brock, exactly. One confidence point. But no, I guess it does make more sense for the SmackDown winner or for the Money in the Bank to be a SmackDown winner.
Oh, this is a good question. Elias Gould. Hey, friend. It was after seeing Charlotte win her Money in the Bank qualifier. Is it possible for her to pick it up and maybe cash in on a Raw champion setting up her match with Ronda at WrestleMania 35? Yes, I thought that scenario after her win as well, that maybe they're going to have her win it. And then that justifies her move over to Raw to take on Rousey at WrestleMania 35.
I really like the idea of a cross-brand cash in. I really, really, really do. I think it'd be fantastic. And I really like that scenario. I think it'd be great. Let's see here. Illusendarum. I don't know if I pronounced that name right. However, this is the question, and it's his first time question. Is it just me, or is Ruby Riott one of the best wrestlers in the company and not getting much to do? No, it's not just you. I actually believe
that.
No,
she's really good, but she's in a decent place right now on Raw.
I think because the shakeup is still fairly recent, I think you need to give the Riott Squad a little bit more time on Raw. And like you said, she is in a decent spot. She had a match. I mean, it was a kickoff show, but she had a match with Bayley. She's beaten Bayley. She's beaten Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
That's a good spot to be in.
Yeah. Rob Conway guy. Hey, friend. It was first time Patreon, longtime viewer from the 10 for the Win days. Cool.
Hey.
Was wondering,
what's 10 for the Win?
I don't know. Was wondering what you guys think of the SmackDown Live announced team. Rob Conway guy thinks Byron has gotten a lot better since he first came up to Raw, plus chemistry seems so real between Tom, Corey, and Saxton, whereas on Raw, it always seems uncomfortable between Coach and Graves. Thanks, and keep up the fantastic work.
There's only one person I can think of on commentary across all the shows in WWE that I really don't think he adds anything, and that's Coach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Coach really adds anything.
No.
Byron Saxton, I like Byron Saxton. I think him and Graves, I think it's obvious that they're legitimately friends.
Yes.
And they legitimately enjoy playing off each other in their roles. So, no, I like Byron. I think it's when you – the good thing about it is that if you don't notice the commentary, they're probably doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they can add stuff, and that's kind of what Corey Graves is there to do.
Yeah.
And I think the general consensus on Graves is that he's, like, the best at what he does.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, he's the best we've seen in a long time in terms of adding something to the show. But, no, I like Byron.
Yeah, I do, too. Nate Morris, so I caught a couple pancakes from the New Day. What should I do with them?
Oh, just toss them.
No. You put them in a Ziploc bag.
Come on, man.
And just put them in the freezer.
You don't have to keep everything.
Put them in the freezer.
Why?
It's a good souvenir.
No. What would you ever do with that?
Just keep it.
In the freezer?
Yeah.
Taking up space?
It's a pancake.
What is the end game? Where eventually is it going to go?
Sell it on eBay.
What? You're crazy.
Put it in a... it won't work.
No, man.
You'd have to get it.
That's not a terrible idea to bronze it.
Yeah, bronze it.
I mean, if you really want to go, if you're really so attached to that night, that special SmackDown night,
bronze it.
I kind of feel though by this time, it's been almost 24 hours.
Yeah, hopefully you put it in the freezer immediately.
Hopefully you've done something with it. If you haven't, do you agree? Probably just get rid of it.
No, put it in the freezer.
Still?
Yeah.
How is it not disintegrated by now?
Maybe he took good care of it. Never know. CM Punk finds it insulting. Change one thing about a WWE concept that makes it infinitely better. Example, instead of Raw versus SmackDown, Survivor Series is WWE versus New Japan from now on. All right, let's keep this within the realm of possibility.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because you just won. Like, that's we can't top that.
I know.
This is for example.
For example, something that never happened.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to steal one of WWE.com's idea.
All right.
Have an NXT showcase match.
All right, that's
on
good.
On SmackDown once a month.
Take the WWE TV title, make it the WWE Network title.
Yeah, I like that.
And have it defended all the time. And whenever it's defended at like a house show where cameras happen to be around, you cut to it.
Yeah.
You interrupt whatever's going on in the network and cut to that match.
Or like feature it in the programming, like table for threes happening, and then all of a sudden a match happens.
Right in that restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be great. Let's see here. I'm trying to find some names that we haven't seen before.
Oh, all right.
Luis Laredo, can we just call it the conspiracy era ever since, because Reigns, KO, and Sammy have been dragging this on for a while now. You guys even talk about conspiracy stuff when it comes to the dirt sheets. Well, that's not really conspiracy. That's just the backstage machinations are fascinating in the WWE.
Yes.
They really are.
Where's my title? Mrs. Run has been awesome. Best match at Backlash. Best match on SmackDown. Miz is the heel that never goes away. What is better for Miz, putting him with a new supporting cast like the Miztourage, or the heel with a never-die attitude and always find a way to win at his own? I wouldn't mind seeing Miz on his own for a while on SmackDown.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I saw it last night. It worked fine.
This is a good question.
Oh, I'll answer this one. From the bitter $5 subscriber, sell me on why I should keep paying you while the same five people get answered every week.
You got two questions answered the show.
I will diplomatically say this. If you feel like you're not getting your money's worth from Patreon.
If you don't like the value you're receiving from this transaction, by all means.
By all means. If you really want to, you can DM us and we'll give you a refund.
Carlos Davalos, in Cesaro's match versus Xavier Woods, Sheamus pulled out his phone and I think took selfies in front of a down Xavier. He did.
Mm-hmm.
What are kayfabe reasons for Sheamus to have his phone at ringside? I think to do just that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, come on. Everybody's got their phone these days.
Yeah.
You know, he might capture something that'll go viral and then he can get hits on his YouTube page, which I think he has a YouTube page.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's filming stuff.
He does workout videos.
He does workout stuff. Let's see here. Paul Lenkick says, looks like Becky Lynch's current gimmick is losing wrestler. She's a loser.
No, losing wrestler.
Loser. What's the end game? A massive heel turn?
Ideally.
Yeah, I would like to see that. Although, if Charlotte does leave for Raw, I mean, that would be kind of, she could fill that role. Maybe they're just waiting that one out.
Well, there's Asuka there, too.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, you can have two. You can have two alphas. You can't have three.
Yeah.
You can have two.
Dangerous sociopath, no way, Jose. I'm going to do a quick version of his question. Does SmackDown have too much talent for his own good? Because before this, he lists the talent. And how much worse could this problem become with the impending arrivals of Sanity and Almas?
I don't think that's a problem necessarily, because I think they utilize it fairly well.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. This is one of the things about NXT. You don't have to see everybody all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it works fine. And so, like, so this week, we didn't see... Who didn't we see this week? Oh, AJ had, like, a really quick promo. Shinsuke had a really quick promo. So that's okay to do that for, you know, every once in a while. And then you spotlight guys like Rusev and Daniel Bryan. If you manage your talent properly... Now, the problem is going to be guys like Ty are nowhere to be found. You might have to go watch Main Event for that.
Yeah.
Mike Kanellis, you don't see him anywhere.
Kurt Hawkins.
I hate to say this, but... I would rather not have any true jobbers. You know, I mean, when you have a jobber, it's like a local enhancement talent for a squash match.
I mean, on the main roster, yeah.
Right? If they book it correctly, if the stories are good, and yes, it might require a bit of 50-50 booking, which I don't see a problem with,
as long as the stories are good. Yeah.
Yeah. Then, man, how great. And yeah, I love the idea that WWE would be the place for the best talent, you know? I'm fine with that. It'd be great. No jobbers. No people. I don't like people coming out. It's like, oh, well, I know he's going to win and lose this match. That's what I really loved about the Rusev-Daniel Bryan thing. I was like, well, Daniel Bryan's going to squeak by. Or you know, it's going to be...
Cass is going to come out. And
it's going to be a cheat victory for Rusev.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, man, it was a clean win for Rusev. I liked it. That was good.
Mm-hmm. Baron the Cat taxidermist. Backlash only served to further an idea I had about Asuka's streak. Ending the way in which she lost, tapping out in 20 seconds, felt like it undermined the dominance of the streak and made all those who came before Asuka look weak in their efforts against Asuka. Did Carmella's win over Charlotte have a similar indirect effect on the situation as well? What are your thoughts? I don't know. I mean, I don't really think they should have had Asuka. I understand having Asuka's streak end because it puts them in a corner in terms of booking. They really can't do anything other than have Asuka win.
Yeah.
And if anybody's going to beat the streak, it's Charlotte. That makes total complete sense.
Yep.
I didn't mind how Carmella got the title off Charlotte by cashing in. But, and I brought this up during the Backlash recap. I think more than anything, my issue with it was if you look back at the Miz-Seth match, Seth had the knee injury spot, and that was about halfway through the match. He managed to last a bit more and ultimately won. Charlotte tweaked her knee, landing a moonsault. Carmella kicked it once, rolled her up for the win. And just felt like if Charlotte's going to lose because of a knee injury, then Carmella needs to work that knee until it is weak. Complete, like, Charlotte cannot support her weight. At that point, I will believe the loss as logical.
Yeah.
But when we just saw Seth wrestle half a match with a bum knee, especially because we all know his history of legit knee injuries, that adds to that spot. And within the matter of 20 seconds, Charlotte tweaks her knee and is pinned. There's a disconnect there. They need to be consistent in how they approach these storylines if we are to believe them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that had happened and Charlotte got her knee worked over for another 5 minutes, and then Carmella found a way to capitalize on that, it wouldn't be such a huge issue. It was too abrupt.
Yeah. I think everything you said is correct. I do think, though, that because of the collective, the collective backlash to Backlash renders that victory almost non-canon. Because also WWE didn't play it up the way they're, you know, obviously they play up Roman beating Brock as being, oh, because Brock beat The Undertaker and Brock is this unbeatable thing, Roman's going to go on and beat Brock and take all of his powers and stuff like that. They didn't play up this Carmella victory nearly as much as they probably could have. And that makes me think that even they might understand that, well, that probably shouldn't have gone down that way.
Yeah.
You know, like that was way too clean. And Charlotte just beat friggin' Asuka, for God's sakes. So I don't know. In my eyes, as a fan of the product, I don't see Asuka looking any less dominant now than before Carmella beat Charlotte. I just think it was a wonky bit of writing, and you get that in every piece of fiction, whether it's movies or TV or whatever, or books. You know, there's always wonky little pieces of writing, and that was just a wonky ass piece of writing. And I don't make anything more of it. I don't think Carmella, they're not going to start booking Carmella to all of a sudden be this ring genius who can beat anybody.
Yeah.
They're not going to give her an Asuka streak. She's still going to win in underhanded ways.
Well, I think with that, too, it really wasn't underhanded. It was just a...
No, I'm saying contrary to what we saw at Backlash,
yeah,
she's going to continue to win.
And I think that's what we assumed would happen is if Carmella would win, it's because of the Iconics.
That's the way it should have went down.
The Iconics should have cost Charlotte that match.
I think it's an anomaly as opposed to something that you should really think about too much.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes wrestling is just that way. Sometimes you just shouldn't think about it too much because it was like, okay, well, that just didn't make
a situation like that where what they did obviously did not work.
Yeah.
You just got to chalk it up to, well, that didn't work, and hope that they realize that as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And they find a better path to continue on.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
You want to play some trivia?
Mm-hmm. Where's my card?
I don't know. I gave you two cards, and now they disappeared.
Oh, my God. I probably did.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
I found a card.
I gave you.
The other one might be down there.
All right. I'll grab a new one for chat trivia.
No, hold on a second. No, this is chat trivia. No, wait. Let me see it. Maybe it isn't. This is not chat trivia.
Cool. Okay.
Are you ready for chat trivia? I'm for trivia.
Hold on.
What's up?
This is not the... Anyways.
Is that the chat trivia card?
I don't know. This isn't the card I looked at when I was looking at for your questions.
That's crazy. There's one down there, too.
Well, I gave you a card. I thought I gave you the chat trivia.
Well, I have a card. You
All
have
right,
a card.
Whatever.
We have cards. We're good.
Because if that's the one that I looked at because I thought it was your card, I'm going to
know
the answer.
No, this is the original card that I had for you.
All right, then it's fine.
Number one.
One.
From big events. No, superstar bio. From which African country was Kamala billed?
Uganda.
Very good.
Who was the host of Primetime Wrestling alongside Gorilla Monsoon?
Bobby Heenan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, you got to get a new card. That was chat trivia. I looked at it. Yeah.
Might as well get two out then. One for chat trivia.
Yes. Good idea.
All right. I have one. What is the fictional location used as a hometown for the Ultimate Warrior?
Parts unknown. Sin Cara translates from Spanish into English as what?
Sin is without, right? Or no?
Yes. I will give you that.
Not fear. Without a care?
No, but you're on the right path. If you have a mask on, what can't you see?
Oh, face.
Yeah. Just like Alberto's dad's Dos Caras. Two faces.
Yeah.
No.
In which discipline did Kurt Angle claim a gold medal at the 1996 Summer Olympics?
Wrestling.
Well, getting more specific. There's various disciplines of wrestling.
Amateur wrestling?
No.
Shoot wrestling?
Freestyle. There's freestyle and there's wrestling? Greco-Roman.
Okay. which is a javelin. Who sold ECW to Paul Heyman in 1995?
Todd Gordon.
Very good.
What was the name of the NWO exclusive pay-per-view?
Sold Out. It's the best. Jim Herd infamously wanted to rename Ric Flair to what?
Oh, wow.
Early in his career.
Oh, it was was it Rick Rhodes?
No, Spartacus.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I thought Flair was using the name Rhodes for a while, or was asked to, or something like that.
You might actually be right about that.
I didn't know if it was Jim Herd. Never heard the Spartacus thing.
Okay. Well, we'll look that one up.
No, I'm not saying Jim Herd told him about the Rhodes thing. That's the only name I thought Rick.
Well, it's possible that you're right about that, because I remember something about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we can look that one up and see. Maybe he offered up a plethora of names and Rick Rhodes is one of them. If it was, you should get that point.
Who is the original host of WWF Mania?
Todd Pettengill?
Yeah.
Nice. I was going to say Doc Hendricks for a second. In which year did USA Network cease airing WWF Mania?
95.
Six.
Damn.
It's so close.
Steve Kern was the head trainer of which WWE developmental territory?
OVW?
Florida Champion.
The other one. Mother. Tipping the scales at 802 pounds, who is remembered as the heaviest pro wrestler of all time?
Haystacks Calhoun?
No, it says Happy Humphrey, but I'm going to see if that was his other name.
All right.
Let's find out.
Wow, this is a tough one. Road to Hurt Gen, Forest in Hell is a World War II memoir by which former Texas promoter?
Dory Funk?
Paul Bosch.
Okay. I think he was in Houston.
Did you exhaust all your questions there?
Yeah. Let's see here.
Well, the other names are up there.
Ring names. No.
Oh, he's only 600 pounds.
Oh, he's only six. Gee, Willikers. 802 pounds. Let's see. What was that dude's name? Happy Humphrey? Was he a British dude?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh. No, Georgia.
No, oh, okay.
That was a big dude. 802 pounds, yeah. Let's see here. Jim Herd.
Ricky Rhodes.
Ricky Rhodes. Let's see if that was a Jim Herd thing.
When was Jim Herd in charge of WCW? Oh, that was in the 80s. So
I
forget
how many questions I got. I think I got four.
You got three.
I got three?
Yeah.
Did I?
I only got two.
What a bummer.
Jim Herd was hired in 88, so it wouldn't have been that.
Oh, okay. All right.
I know he was the Rick Rhodes thing was early in his career.
So I get to pick one prize?
One prize.
picked this randomly. Stupid Jimmy Hart with his dumb megaphone. Anyways, that's it for show, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. Patrons, stay tuned. We have chat trivia on the way. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.